You're listening to It's Casual with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.
Vibes everywhere. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy Case, aka Face. We're doing this for 1878 Casuals and those Casual Reds. It's a combination thing. Vibes are high. Oh, first of all, I'm going to get the sponsor out of the way. This is brought to you by Born and Malukian LLP, one of the finest law firms in the Southern California area with a 98% success rate. They handle personal injury, wrongful death, just don't kill nobody, and wrongful firing. You can dial them at 747-444-4444. Ask for Ashat, Hike, Vahe, and Ani, and they'll take care of you. Let's bring in all our gentlemen for the day. Wagwan, everybody. There's Bandito Mike, Mikey in Atlanta, Sean. First of all, let's get a little roll call. Wow. I'm excited. I'm pumped.
Wow. Is that everybody's all tuned in? Oh, I see that they just popped up. All right,
there
all right.
Cool. All right, to the man to the next to me is Cheese, representing LA Red Army. Cheese, how you doing today?
Happiest I've ever been in a long time.
You know you have a wife and a daughter.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a different kind of happiness. All that's right. A way different kind of happiness.
I'm just checking, brother. Just,
yeah, man, just pumped. Trying to not be petty like you. Enjoying all of your pettiness. Enjoy your week, my brother.
Across from me is my man Germs. What's going on, Germs?
Still buzzing, man. I'm still happy. Still geeked out over that win over the weekend.
Nice
all
thing.
Smiles all around, man.
It's a nice thing.
Yeah.
I'm bringing in my boy Bandito Mike, a.k.a. LB Mike, a.k.a. LA's top boy, the street credit Manny, the world got more away days than, I don't know, Rashi. What's going, Bandito?
What's up, guys? Glad to be here. Like, I'm still buzzing off that. How's that for a Sunday, right?
If I didn't have food poisoning, it would have been better.
This guy.
Oh, and my band out of Atlanta, Mr. Mikey. What's going, Mikey? How you doing out there?
What up? As it stands, the Lakers are in ninth.
What the fuck?
Still since our last broadcast. Yes, sir. But listen, I want to introduce somebody today that's special to me, that allowed me to be a part of something great, something that we got a million people to see, something that was on TalkSport, ESPN. He's the one who came up with the idea to fly the banner over Raymond James for their beloved, the Glazers' beloved Buck. This is my boy from the Pittsburgh supporter group. Sean Greig. Shouts to my man.
Salute. Sean. Talk to us.
Welcome.
Thank you. I've been watching for the last couple of weeks, so it's nice to join in. So.
You know, we're into group things around here, Sean. Just want you to know that. And we don't discriminate. You know, as long as you're red, I got room for you. Sean, yeah, I don't know where to start. I think this is one of my proudest moments as a Red across the pond. I know when it came to the anti-Glazer movement, I was someone who was very, I don't know, on people. Like, you need a hashtag Glazer out. Everybody need a hashtag Glazer out. We need to represent here in the States. We're just passengers and not doing nothing over here. Everybody got all these new kits on and everybody looking all sweet. Walk on. But when you did that, my friend, it really, really got to me, got to my heart. Proud. I'm just going to say it was a proud moment because, you know, as Bandito could tell, we talked to a lot of Reds and Manny, I'm sure as you do too. And then they would say the only way the Glazers could feel something is if the mates across the pond do something. And I would take that to heart, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, damn, they're talking about me too, you know what I'm saying? Oh, go ahead, Bandito. I see you trying to chime in.
Yeah, a little Manchester education community, right? bringing it old school, bringing it right to the doorstep. So,
absolutely.
This is like an extension of that. So, big props to you.
Big props, man. You got straight street cred out here. I owe you a couple beers, some shots. When you come out to LA, just get an Uber. That's all I'm going to tell you. Get an Uber.
Yeah, it's on my bucket list. So, I'm working my way around the states. So
nice.
North Carolina next. So.
North Carolina. You know,
let's do a little. Just talk about yourself for just a little bit, man.
So man.
Since you're
new
to the group,
right
just a little intro on yourself.
Yeah, obviously from England. My granddad was a Man United fan, so unfortunately my brother went the other way and decided to become a Chelsea fan. But, you know, I moved over to the States about 12 years ago. Loved football, loved Man United. You know, 87, I think, was the first year I got a jersey. Came over, struggled to kind of find somewhere. And one of my friends took me to the Bulldog Pub up in Pittsburgh. And I just fell in love with the place instantly. A lot of great people in there. I don't know if you guys have seen our Twitter. We have grown massively over the last year or two. What I kind of came up with the idea for the band was, like, you know, talking to people back home was just no one, like, they, everyone saw, like, we're doing protests, but the Glaziers weren't seeing it. You know, they, when they come into Old Trafford, they just go to the back end. They weren't seeing any of this. So I was just also like, let's get something going. And then I eventually actually reached out to that. I'm going to not call him a Man United fan, Mark Goldbridge. He turned it down. It's like, I'm not being any part of that, you know, classic, you know, Forest fan that he is. And, you know, he just wouldn't do anything. So I just reached out to all the supporters groups and everyone loved the idea. So, you know, thanks for everyone for chipping in and getting it done. So.
And, you know, I've heard some plans to get the Glazers. I've been a part of, I've heard some conversations, Sean. Because, you know, some state-side Reds, over, I mean, some Reds over here are not all wound up together too tight.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very proud of you did it the way you did it because, I mean, I've heard plans like this is the house.
Did it involve balaclavas? And
yeah, there's a lot of that. I even talked to my lawyers. What can I get away with would not get me a felony? And they're like, maybe throw paint on him. I was like, oh, I like that.
Please don't discuss crime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I should know better.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Please.
Well, hey, we're sponsored.
Catch yourself self-snitching, Casey.
Go ahead, Benny.
Casey had been talking about cutting the ponytail of one of the Glazers, right? Abram Glazer.
It was a fantasy. It was a little fantasy.
In the back.
I even talked to my lawyer. I already said that, but I'm sponsored by a law firm, so it doesn't matter. So, guys. Sean, you're very, you know, me, I'd have had a shirt like, I'm the dude who did this shit. Everybody, yeah. Buy me drinks. But I'm very proud of you, bro.
The shirt I'm today is this one.
It's a
yeah.
Lot. You know, it, what's so sweet about it is the way Klopp, you know, because he's always been the GOAT. Like, you know, he's the can't do wrong. Oh, the pettiness in him.
I feel like he's had our number a little bit. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Shut up.
Yeah. Just saying, man. It feels good. It feels good.
I think this one is going to be something he won't forget, though. What do you guys think? I mean, this was his last FA Cup.
Yeah.
You know, they were talking some quad-type things.
Supposedly.
Well.
You know, this is the way to go out.
We sent him out in style. What do you mean?
Go ahead, Bandito.
It was going to be the English press wanking him off. So the remainder of the campaign, and Bosh Ahmad just puts an end to that.
Shoot, you know what I liked about this game? Everybody was involved.
Yeah,
together.
I think he used his roster the best he could, and I think don't you guys think going forward this is the type of thing he needs to do? Utilize all the talent, or close to talent we have.
Yep,
absolutely.
What do you think about it, Mikey?
I have a quick question. Was Amrabat on the bench for that game?
Sure was. Is he the only man that didn't play?
Yeah.
He's out.
I was just thinking about that.
That's the only one that didn't get involved in. Thank God.
Oh, my Lord. God. So, wait a minute. Is he the only person that didn't play?
That game? I mean,
Other people didn't play, but I'm saying, like, of the main people that could have gotten in.
That was a big sign to show you that he's not rated. He's out of here.
Tell the truth, though. Yeah. Everybody here wanted it. We were like,
we were calling for him.
Because I'm a one running play in the World Cup. We got
Hoodwink off that World Cup.
I'm not going to lie. I was, you know, begging for someone like him to come in. And then I honestly thought he was going to be the standout player of the season, but he is just disappointing.
He doesn't look quick. He looks like he's stuck in the mud. And he looks like he's eating cookie dough every night.
Yeah, every night.
But other than that, let's stay positive. You know, Absolutely. I feel something good's going to come out of this FA Cup stuff.
Keeping my fingers crossed. I will not be slating my boy Erik ten Hag tonight on this show. Nothing but positive vibes for him. I have no criticism for him. Zero. I'm just saying, I'm letting him live today. That's my boy. That's my boy.
Your boy.
That's my boy.
I told, man. I told. I said, just stand behind him, bro. That's all I said. That's all I said. And I will make you remember every time.
That's what I want to see, man.
Bandito, what did you think about the end of the game tactics?
Yeah, so we took off every defender.
Fire.
And he went. So, second half, they were just toying with us a bit. We couldn't get near the ball. So, when it came desperation, chaos time, it was 3-4-3, and that extra energy and the extra man in the midfield, we nicked the ball twice. It led straight to goals, right? So it was Ahmad who nicked the ball off of Nunes. Scotty collects it, plays in a nice ball, and Rashford slots it home. So it was a bit of chaos and a bit of vibes, but it was small, fleet-footed players who can run about the pitch. And then caution to the wind. It was even like 5-2-2 at some, you know, I don't know if my math is right, but it was everybody forward. It was Maguire as a center forward.
Don, the Don Maguire. Mikey.
So I was watching Bruno Fernandes, or Bruno Fernandes, rather. I was watching his interview. Post-game interview, and he was saying, like, although we tried to play a diamond towards the end, he was like, there's no formation here at this point. You know, it's like, we're just playing man-to-man, and that's why they were able to have, like, a breakaway with, like, 5-on-1 at one point, or 5-on-2, because they were just playing. Basically, Ten Hag does what he did what he doesn't do normally, is he went after it. He said, just go.
Very true.
Go, get to a man. Harry, advance up the pitch as far as you can and just make shit happen. Just get to every ball, win every ball. And that diamond formation, and it worked out. But just to hear Bruno say, like, because that's the game these days. It's like, we're going away from the idea of positioning, especially in the Premier League, and we're going towards athletes being athletes, everybody pressing, winning the ball, keeping the ball, and progressing the ball fast, right? Not from side to side, but forward. So that's exactly what we did. And, hey, Darwin Nunez, man, yeah, he made a mistake, and we capitalized.
You know, Sean, when we talk about Manchester United, we talk about effort, energy, fight, spirit. And that's something we haven't seen all year. But this team, what they just did, we got to expect this from them every game. You got to die out there every game. How do you feel about that? Did you... Was it good to see this come out of these boys? I mean, we've seen Scotty limping, Bruno limping.
Yeah, like, I love the effort. I'm not going to lie. He was screaming at the TV after some of those substitutions. I'm not going to lie. I was begging for Mount to come on. Like, I don't know if anyone saw it. After 35 minutes, we were just dire in midfield. I'm starting to like Scotty a lot more, but I see him as a 10. He's not a CDM.
Exactly.
And he has great going forward, but his transition coming back is shocking. Sometimes you can see him jogging, whereas Mount will just run and press. And I think we needed that after a little while, at least someone with Mount. But overall, just the pressing that we saw and just – the turnover of mistakes. Mainu is just, oh my god.
Ice cold.
He's been here before. When we watch him, he's always the best player on the pitch to me. Uh-huh. Just with the demeanor. Yeah. You know, and the calmness.
Yeah. You really see him out there. He doesn't even look like he's 18, right? He looks like a seasoned vet, just bossing in the midfield.
It's like Barry White.
Exactly. So you see him out there, you see that composure he has, bossing in the midfield, some of those little, you know, passes he's able to do, dribbling. I see him in the future moving up a little further up the pitch,
I think,
right?
He's more attacking.
Exactly. But he's doing what he has to do at this moment. Erik ten Hag has him playing a little bit more defensive. That just shows you a quality player that we have. the team. I mean, towards the end of the game, we can just forget about tactics, right? It's just like that's what we wanted to see. The team as a whole, just get after it, get the ball, go forward. Shout out to Garnacho as well. He was just running all day. Yeah, the low as well.
With a bad defensive performance,
he was giving just everyone. Just you have to give him kudos to every single player out there. Just they went after it, and we got the result we wanted.
Definitely got the result we want. You know what? I was so proud. I was in the couch. Harry! That's my Don. Like a gal. Like a gal. Harry! No, I'm just joking. But Harry, to me, he's shown a lot of character, and I'm very proud of him.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of him. But let's talk about the midfield with Kobe Mainen. And I know we're going to go back to the Liverpool game. I'm always going to go back to the Liverpool game. What did you guys think today when you saw Kobe Mainen was getting his call up? So, Bandito, go ahead.
Chief. Time out, though. Is this senior call up officially, or is it under the 21 in England?
It's a senior call up.
It's a senior call up.
Oh, so they because literally 2 days ago, originally, I thought they were like, he's going under under 21s. We don't want to rush him. And then it was just like, senior after Liverpool.
They seen the
senior.
Liverpool game, yeah. And it was like, oh no, Ross Clark.
That's a big man. Bring him. Call him.
But what's crazy is, I don't know if you guys noticed it, other team supporters who love the England national team were like, Kobe Mainen needs to be playing. So there was more call from some other fans. I've seen some Chelsea fans.
Not everybody. Not everybody.
Oh, then the Scousers were a little hurt, though, weren't they? Yeah.
There were a lot of Scousers that were mad that a lot of their young guys didn't get in.
I love it.
I've seen a lot of pushback on it. Here's my thing with that, if I can. I'm not too pressed on him playing for England right now, but what I will say the positives are for that is that he's going to get to be around those types of top talents in the nation. And train with them, right? He could take a little bit from all of them. I feel like in Rashford's case, when he goes to play for England, Harry, when they go play for Luke Shaw even, they go and play for England, they come back a better product, being that they're around the top guys in the nation, right? So it's in spurts now because we know Rashford's fallen off a little bit. But look what he did after he came off the World Cup. He tore it up. You know what I'm saying? I think those are valuable minutes for him to have. If he could play in the game, great. I'm happy for that. But I don't want to rush this kid. And I don't want him to get too big for his britches or, you know, take another bad injury or anything like that. I want to progress him into this team and bring him on slower to the way he's in every, you know, game and he could play. And he's the talisman we need. I don't see the point in rushing him forward.
Bandito, how do you feel about... Oh, go ahead, Sean. You chime in.
Sorry, Bandito. I was watching Southgate talking today, and they were saying one of the reasons they brought him up is due to injuries.
Due to injury?
In the England squad, yeah. But to be fair, you've got to give him 5 minutes, because the minute he gets steps foot on that pitch, he can't play for anybody else. So you've just got to give him that time on the field. So,
Bandito, originally I was saying the same thing as Mikey. I was saying I don't want to pressure him. He has enough pressure playing, being the best midfielder at Manchester United right now. And I want him to develop. I just feel like everything has been a rush 6 months for him. But when you see his demeanor in the field, Bandito, I feel like he can handle this situation because he's the calmest guy out there. I don't know. How do you feel about the Kobe call-up?
Well, I've got a different perspective on England call-up. As a United supporter, I don't care about England.
Me neither. After Beckham, no.
It's Republic of Macedonia for me. And the abuse that all the little England clubs give our players, down from Beckham, Neville, the toxic environment around the England squad. Now, I know for this young man and for Rashford and all the people we talked about, it's a massive thing to support or to play for their country and get a call-up. I know that about the players. That's, you know, a great honor for them and kudos to him. But as a United supporter, it's Republic of Mancunia.
I mean, that's now, fair.
Your second point about him being young and so I've seen Kobe Mainu on the under 21s and the under 18s about three times now. I saw him when he was 16 playing for the under 21s, and best player on the pitch by far. Looks like, you know, a man amongst boys. The calmness, you know, he gets the ball in really tight situations, and the close control he has. Yeah, so this, you know, he had that setback in preseason when he was injured with against Real Madrid. So, you know, not having him in the squad is really hurt United, and obviously hurt his development. But yeah, he looks great. He seems like a good lad, and from people that I talk to that follow closely the academy and go to every academy game, it seems like he's a really nice kid. You know, he'll chat with the supporters afterwards. Seems really grounded. You know, Garnacho and Polisi will go see him at the matches. So seems like a good kid from Stockport. And I'll end with one little Kobe Mainoo story. So we're going to Lee Sports Village, which is where the 21s play. And I'm talking to my pal and Stewart, and he says, Mike, now everybody knows about Zidane Iqbal. Everybody knows Savage, you know, Savage's boy.
Sure, T-Ray.
Yeah, sure, T-Ray, one of the, you know, young player of the year. And he tells me the player amongst all those players is a kid named Kobe Mainoo. I said, okay, I'll look out for Kobe Mainoo. And he says he gets a lot of comparisons to Paul Pogba, you know, big.
I hope not.
Come on,
thank you, Bandito. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
A lot of comparisons.
Let's go.
Because he's a big player, can carry the ball. He can finish. He's very good in the, you know, in the final product. So, but he's a different player, and he's his own player. His characteristics are different. I'm like, wow, really? Like, he says, I think he's better than Pogba.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
You
got to work for that.
And I said, you think he's better than Pogba was at this point? And he says, no, he's better than Pogba now.
That's right.
Wow.
And that's when Pogba was, you know, already moved on at Juventus, and he's like, no, this kid is better than Pogba now.
Pogba destroyed his own
career. Yeah, I don't see. Yeah, this is not. We don't talk about Pogba on the show.
Streets will never forget you, Paul. Never forget.
The real ones remember. The real ones remember. He's a dirty cheat.
But hey, Casey, mic drop. That's it. That ends it right there.
What?
You heard it here first. I've been telling this guy that I'm not the only one to say that.
He didn't say.
Because they have a similar play style. They have a... Fuck all how you feel about him. They play very similar. The way they can keep the ball... Fling, spray a pass across, look like there's nothing happening, and then all of a sudden the ball goes 30 yards that way. It's like they play the same. Are they the same person? No, but it's not. It's harmless to say that they have a good play style. The guy won a World Cup.
Yeah, I agree with you. Pogba was incredible. I think Pogba could still be incredible. He wasn't banned, but it just his attitude stank.
Yeah, I think his agent.
Why are we talking about Pogba?
Casey, I think what you're doing, you two things, like they said, you can separate the two things. You can separate the player from the attitude, right? So, yeah. Pogba's attitude is
Jeremy,
one thing.
What are you doing?
But I hear what they're saying. I don't like his attitude either. I don't like Pogba's attitude. But his game, just solely on his game, that's the similarities. But when it comes to attitude.
You guys remember Pogba against City?
Come on, talk about it.
Okay, so that's one game out of how many?
Talk about it.
Wow, this is not where the show's supposed to go.
Talk about it. Come on now.
This is not where
they act like the guy did nothing. Yeah, his attitude sucked, but he's won a Europa League. He's won an FA Cup for us. Like, come on now. But next subject.
All right, that's fine.
I could be here all day.
No. But no. Going back to our boy Kobe, I'm happy for him. I know he's thrilled.
Kobe.
He seems to be really embracing the moment, you know. But like I said, you know, they're gonna listen. England's Jamaica's B team. That's how I feel about it. But anyway, Sir Jim spoke today.
Yeah,
interesting comments.
Sorry to interrupt. That when he spoke, you just found that on YouTube?
Because it's I haven't seen it.
You have to go to the Niners website. You got to go to the Instagram or the Twitter for that cycling page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of key points you can take out of it as well. You know, because it's an hour long interview, right?
Sean, what did you think about Sir Jim's comments today? Did you see him, by the way?
I watched most of it. I worked for like 12 hours pretty much today, but I managed to get in some of it during my lunch break. I like it. I don't want to go after these $80-90 million players. Like, I want him to bring in solid, good young players and complement what we've already got in the solid young players and just build from there. Like, if you look at Liverpool, that's kind of what they did when they first started. And then now look at them. Like, they're coming towards the end, but, you know, we've got to go for young players. We can't keep buying $80-90 million players and expecting them to work, because they're all players today are not the same players as they were in the 90s or early 2000s. You know, their Instagram and everything. Like, you look at, like, not to bring it back, but look at kind of Pogba and Jesse Lingard. But you've got to buy those young players now that want to play for the club. And I think it was going in the right direction with his talks.
Yeah, I want to chime in on that too as well. I really like he hit all the points that we wanted to hear, right? Not going for this Galacticos type of like buying players for 180. What has that gotten us? The money that we've spent, right? That hasn't made our club progress.
It's not a good move.
Exactly. It's not about getting Mbappe. You want to find that next player. So that all the moves that he's made, right, with the scouting and everything they're trying to do is to try to find these players young so you can mold them, have them in your club at a younger level where you can help them and influence them in the right way, the right direction, instead of getting someone that's established as 25, 24, 26 years old, right? What is the thing you're going to be worrying about more about? Their Instagram, their social media following. That's not what we want.
The problem is he needs to pay $20 million and get Dan Ashworth in now.
Yeah.
Like, we cannot wait for next season, because, like, if you look, if we go spend $40 million on $50 million, $60 million on the wrong player now, instead of spending the 20 on Dan Ashworth and getting the right players in, again, we're in the same situation. He needs to pay that money to get Ashworth in now.
Yeah, that's an interesting situation that's going on with Dan Ashworth. Because it's not helping Newcastle, because they don't have...
He's on gardening leave.
He's on gardening leave. He can't do anything.
They don't have a director of football either, do they? Don't they need the money to go get somebody? I'm just saying. I can honestly say Sir Jim is growing on me. I know when I would talk to you, I was heavy Qatar, because an early Qatar had a plan. They was like, we're going to do this statement, we're going to do that. And Sir Jim just said, I want to bring back the Manchester in United or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's vague. You ain't telling this shit. Qatar's like, we're going to spend cheese. We're going to get names. You know what I'm saying? They had a plan. But what I've learned to appreciate about him right now, he's calculated. He's not going to just blurt shit out and like that. And I respect that in him. So the way he spoke today, one thing is he puts a lot of... You can see he has a vision. And I appreciate that. And I love the moves he's made. So I can say, Bandita, early, I was heavy Qatar and I didn't like Sir Jim. And I was like, bun him too. So what do you think about what he had to say today?
Yeah, like you said, he's very measured. He didn't really... Before the takeover, he didn't really show his hand. And then as supporters, we're like, well, Qatar can do this, this, and this, right? And we didn't see the vision that any of us had, right? So I got the Belstaff, which is part of...
He owns that.
So you can support United without giving money to the Glazers. That's the way I look at it.
That's a tricky comment. We have to talk about that later if we can. Sorry.
But yeah, I like what he said. Like you, a lot of you guys pointed out, he's ticking all the boxes. He's saying all the right things. And then one thing he mentioned was, you know, this new type of stadium and ground where
that's a point I wanted to point out. Go ahead, Mike.
2 hours. You're going to a restaurant. You're going to a nice bar. Maybe you're doing a bit of shopping. And if United, since they own all that area around Old Trafford, you know, you're this is helping with FFP, right? You're earning, you're bringing in more funds.
Yeah.
So I talked to you, Casey, a little bit before. I'm like, is this new stadium, new ground? Is this just a ego project of another billionaire? But he's kind of putting, he's kind of put it into a new perspective.
I mean, it is, it isn't. I mean, he, I think he's trying to leave his.
His mark, his legacy. Out there. And that's a question I have for you guys. Excuse me, my ignorance. No, but good. It's about his vision of, it's not just going to be a stadium, but it's somewhere where fans can stay, interact. That means more revenue to the club.
Right.
So does that mean that more revenue to the club, that means more spending because now you have to spend towards your means?
Well, initially we have to crawl before we run and all that Ray type things. But in the long haul, if when that's, you know, we got to get out of this debt thing first, and he says he's going to eat that. But in the 6-7 years down the road, oh, we're going to be spending like some lottery winners, like some tweaked out lottery winners. We're going to be going nuts. But right now, I like his plan of, you know, like this guy that we want from the midfielder from is it Benfica, the one that Bruno's touting.
Oh yeah, I think it's
he's 100 mil.
Oh,
yeah. Already?
That's 100 mil out.
How
the
old
gate.
Is he?
I don't know, 12. I don't know, but. I like what he's saying. But one thing he said, Mikey, I want to go to you. I'm sorry. I see your hands up. He said he likes what Arsenal did with Arteta because they gave Arteta time. Now, to me, I don't know. Some people read it a different way. Like, he's making I wouldn't give him time. But do you think that's good news for Erik ten Hag? He says that he likes that Arsenal stuck by their coach and gave him time.
I've said a few times that I liked what Arsenal's done as far as giving Arteta some time because now they're flying. I feel like what we've trended towards, and I did a video on this, is what we've trended towards in the Premier League on YouTube, those Atlanta Reds. You can watch that video. But what we've trended towards is the Chelsea way of life, right? Is like getting guys out before they really can show, get the guys that they want to really implement a play style or just a culture at the club, right? Now, some teams have to do that, right? If you're the Norwiches of the world or Burnley, even Burnley's staying with their coach. But, you know, if you're those lower-level teams, it's not going good for you and you need to win to stay up for the money, then I understand. But when you're Big Man United and you're cruising around 6th and 7th, you're not really falling too much lower than that. You have to implement a structure, right? That will sustain you over time. And I just feel like going from coach to coach to coach to coach with the same players
ain't it.
Doesn't work. Now, what I was raising my hand to say is with Sir Jim is that my biggest thing with him is that I want to see the revitalization of the area. I've been to Manchester. I've seen games. I've been to that area. It's not the best area. It's not the best looking area. You know what I'm saying? But I also want to see that common guy who works all week and wants to take his kid to a game, be able to afford that.
I feel you on that.
You know what I'm saying? I want to see that regular Mank that works a job and is like, yo, I can't pay £220 for a ticket. You know, I can't afford, I'm going up on season tickets again. I want to see that change too. So I want to see it on the ground level as well. I know where people like to laugh at us for being a tourist club, and I get called a day tripper and all this other stuff. But, you know, the regular Mank needs to be able to experience this. So I want to see if he's going to do any changes to make that a possibility for them.
Bandito, go on.
Yeah, fair point. You know, football was working class, and for so long, the Premier League has tried to price out working class people. So, you know, a freeze price on tickets is something that's Mikey's talking about. And yeah, if you look just on the other side of the Irwell, you've got the Salford Quays, right, which underwent a transformation about 10 years ago. And it's night and day from what it was. Yeah, the area around Trafford, the area Stretford and all that, it's not a lot to do there. People are just going to go have a drink in town, in the city center, go to the match, book it home. So I was listening to a interview the mayor of Manchester with Andy Mitten from United We Stand. And he's talking about that revitalization, where it's not just the ground, it's something for the community, it's improved transportation, retail, restaurant, and those types of things. So United has it owns a lot of the property around there, so there is a space for that. And that's where this level up kind of public funding is coming, focusing towards. It's not on the stadium. It's not the people of England buying a new stadium for Manchester United. So all the ABUs, all the anybody but Uniteds are just, going mental with that one. But that's not what it is. And let's not pretend that Tottenham and City didn't get public funding for some of their infrastructure works as well. So
the NFL paid for that.
Yeah, they
paid
for
it. And say, hey, let us host two or three games a year, and we'll build you a stadium. And it's failing because they're not going up in viewership, and they're not getting the European viewership that they want. So fuck them.
Sean, it seems like early on in this process, people weren't really warming up to the idea of tearing down Trafford. People really wanted to get refurbished.
Tear it down.
And it seems like more heads are starting to warm up to that now, right now.
Dude, I was there in August. Tear it down. I was there for home opener against Wolves. And it looked exactly the same as when I was 16 years old. I'm 40 years old now. It's time for a new stadium. If you want to, look at Real Madrid. They just built on top of their same stadium, and it's phenomenal. It's time. At the end of the day, what's it been there since 1908?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Building on top, going up the stairs to, to the seats, it's just outdated. God. Yeah, it's just outdated, and it needs to, if we want to compete on the next level, we need to have that stadium too. Like, when I was in Manchester, I went over, mentioned the name City, but, their area, just what they're, that's kind of what Man United are trying to do, is the same thing City have done. And to bring it over the same guy that helped develop that area too, it's a great thing to see. To go to Bandino's point, it's Trafford is, there's not much to do there. There's the Blaze, which is an amazing pub, but that's really about it. So
yeah, people come and go, and mm-hmm. It's what needs to be done is for the team, yeah, but that what's gonna the money's gonna bring for the city of Manchester is just amazing. And I like that the mayor says we'll do whatever it takes to support the club. And to me, it sounds like it's gonna roll that way. I'm very impressed by Sir Jim. I wanted to be negative because some people are still looming in the back, and he says things, or you can see, feel like he takes shots at them. He's like, he says, our coaches could not thrive under the previous structure.
Yeah.
He said, we're not going to buy $100 million players like they used to do.
That's not clever, right?
He's clever with his shots, though. That's what I like. So that's what I appreciate about him. I think the more he gets involved, he's just like, what the fuck y'all going to do? Get rid of me? It'd be anarchy around you. So,
I will try to interrupt that. Just one of the things that really kind of got me when I went to Old Trafford is when you buy your shirt, if you want a name on it, I'm gonna get you have to go to a little hut outside of Old Trafford to get your name put on a shirt.
Yep.
This is one of the biggest clubs in the world, and you have to go into a storage container to get your name put onto a shirt.
Quick story. When I went, the first time I ever went, I went and bought a Ander Herrera shirt. I love Ander Herrera, right? I looked for an Ander Herrera shirt in the pile. There was none in the entire store. Not because they bought it out. Everybody else's shirt was there. I had to go and get them to press up a shirt with a starting player on the team for them to do that. I'm glad somebody else said something. That was weird. I found that weird too.
Yeah, it was just weird. My kid wanted his, he wanted Garnacho. Do you know they had no Garnacho shirts in the entire store?
They couldn't print Rasmus's shirt for a minute because it has a little ting ting pun his name, slash.
Yeah. It was just weird going into a storage container in Old Trafford to put a name on a shirt. The front of it looks beautiful, but you go around the back of Old Trafford. Boy, does it need redone.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. Oh, real quick. I have... So, our, I guess he doesn't like this, but our boss here in the Atlanta Supporters Club, he's even said he's 50-something years old. He's been going since 8. And he's like, bro, tear it down because, like, a lot of the stuff that's there originally, that was there originally, isn't there. Like, the gates and all that, there's only a couple of things that's there still. So we've been adding and building on, like, scoreboard's the same and, you know, the pitch is the same, but, like, how much of it is still the original thing? So it's like we're hanging on to this thing that's changed over time, but it's also had its own changes to where, like, why don't we mind just having it completely change? I don't understand the dissent behind that. But
Liverpool didn't mind losing in Anfield, the old one.
Yeah. Mikey, go ahead. Bandito, go ahead.
I hear both sides of the argument. I'm a little torn. I mean, you go in there and you're going into the, you can put your hands on those bricks and go through the gates that have been there since 1911 when it opened. But like you said, it looks like it's from the late 90s with that green tinted glass. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to some structural engineers and they're like, you probably have to do what Burnabout did, where they knocked it down completely and rebuild instead of building atop another one. And that brings the problem of, well, where do you play? I mean, if you've been to Manchester and you're a Red, you've been called a rag, right? And I don't know if you know what that means, but when we were rebuilding Old Trafford, we were playing at City's ground, so we were like a homeless club, a rag. So, yeah,
there is space, Mike. Sorry, there is space there next to Old Trafford to build a new Old Trafford.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think one of the ideas I've heard is to take down to the single tier down to the brick, and have the 21s and the 18s and the women's team use those facilities. Mm-hmm. As you build your new facility, and then that should be ready like in about 2 years. Now, Ineos, they're in the oil gas business, right? And this is like that for them. They build plants around the world to the tune of, you know, multi-billion dollars. So building projects are nothing for them.
Yeah, this won't be done. He'll get this done. And then I'm confident that he's – I'm actually confident. He makes me more confident. And I like that he says – I'm not going to be running the club. I'm still a fan. I'm bringing people to do that. And I appreciate that, you know, because, you know, some of our owners like to dibble and dab and like, oh, let's keep, I like Martial. Let's keep him. And
no, please, dear God, no.
So, Sir Jim was impressive. I enjoyed what he said. I think he's, the more he talks, he calms the majority. You know, let's go into we've got about 10 more minutes. Let's go into the future. What do you guys want to see coming back from this international break? We're going to be healthier. Do you want to push for top four? Or you want to focus on the FA Cup? Cheese, go on. Or both?
We're not making top four.
All of the above. But you're right. We can still push for it, though. All I want to say is we keep playing the way we played on Sunday for the remainder of the season. I like our chances. For top four, I know you need help from other teams.
Yeah, I kind of was tripping by talking about top four. I get giddy.
I mean, top five was
no. You're not wrong.
Top five might get you the champions.
We could make a legitimate push for it. We just can't drop any more games. We got Arsenal still. We got Brentford coming up. We still got to play Liverpool again in 3 weeks. We got big games coming up, but I don't want to see us play like Sunday again. Because Liverpool really shitted away their chances. They should have put us away. They just let us hang around too long. So I want to see us play better than that. You know what I'm saying? I want to see the goals still. But we could make we can't be Liverpool and say, oh, I'd rather play for this than that. We should go all out to get top four. Mm-hmm. Whatever we get, if it's Europa League, fine, whatever. But the FA Cup is definitely something we should push for too. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't be one or the other, because that's what people like to do. If they don't win the FA Cup, it's like, oh, we were thinking about the league, or we were thinking about the FA Cup. We weren't thinking about the league. Like, no, push to get whatever you can get, because the Champions League is a good deal to make us attractive for the higher quality signings.
Yeah.
Was that then, one big?
Let me put a spanner in the works, so you know that it's going to 36 clubs next season, right? So depending on how England teams perform in Europe, we may get
five
teams in Champions League. And not like to piggyback on what Mikey's saying, to attract players, it's also financially.
Yeah.
We need the money.
Europe money. We need Europe money.
For being in Champions League. Mm-hmm. So I think it's only two more games for FA Cup. Hopefully. So it's.
Has anybody?
We're right there. You go in every game thinking you're going to win this thing.
I've been wrong, y'all. I've been dissing Coventry, and I shouldn't do this because the last time they played.
Don't diss Coventry.
Last time they played us.
Yeah. This is the FA Cup, man.
I know, y'all. I know, but listen.
Don't diss. Diss nobody. Take no man for granted.
You can't everybody go out there thinking you're minded and you're just going to show up and win.
Just remember, there's the one man who's back for the Coventry game. Who's that man that's back for the Coventry game?
Jeremy.
The Butcher, baby.
Butcher will be back. Exactly.
That's one thing that was a good sighting, right? He's out there, got a call-up for Argentina, right? He's training out there.
He's with Argentina.
How do y'all feel about that?
I love it.
I think it's good news.
That's good news, man.
Get your legs
back.
I don't think he'll play, but I think he'll train with the team.
Exactly. He's out there just going to piss.
And he'll probably be around better doctors out there.
I don't want to get that.
They won't have the dodgy doctors that we have. So, yeah. They talk to each other. I said that in a post earlier. I'm like, these guys talk to each other. It's probably just a part of his regiment. So, you won't see any time.
Would you guys rather have had this break come now after this game or just continue on with the season? You think this is
going to be No. I like this break.
This is a perfect break.
This is a perfect break. Oh, no. Don't take away this week of pettiness.
You wouldn't want to run off with this momentum?
No. We tired. I need this 2 weeks of shit talking.
Mm-hmm.
There's two men that will come see me at work, But, let's stop chatting. But anyway, Sean, your expectations coming out this break. You want to push FA Cup. I know my favorite tournament, by the way. Top five is how you feel about chasing top five? You think we should push? I mean, I think we should push for whatever we can get.
Push. Like, you see this weekend, Villa dropped points, Tottenham dropped points. Mm-hmm. If we can push on. I'm just a little, I will say this. I'm a little worried about the second last game of the season, man. Like, you got Arsenal, second last game of the season.
It might be sweet.
You beat Arsenal and you let City win the league?
Shit, yeah. As long as the Scousers don't win, though.
Yes.
That's the last team I want to see to win.
It's hard for me too because I was a United fan in the 90s, and the team for me to beat wasn't Liverpool.
It was Arsenal. Yep.
Yeah,
I'm still in that mode. I don't want Arsenal to win either. So, but I would. Yeah, as long as Liverpool don't win the league, I don't. It's fine.
And the 115 is going to happen to them anyway, so they can win whatever they want.
It's coming.
Need justice.
You see what they just did to Forest, Everton? It's coming.
Yeah, it's crazy how many teams are getting hit with this stuff right now. They're trying to bring in a regulator for this shit. The government wants to take over, which is never good. Never good. I want to get into that. Mikey, any last words? We got about 3 minutes.
Shit, man. I don't want to get too beside myself with this result. Because we know how it can happen with these guys here. I still don't think they're good enough, a lot of them. That doesn't change. I'm glad that they showed some fight. I hope that it can carry on to the rest of the season. But the biggest thing I would like to see of our rivals, since we're talking about rivals, is I would like to see Liverpool go third and win the Carabao Cup. Because when we did it, we were shameless.
Oh, man, they partied too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I would like to see that happen to them and then see how they react.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese, any parting words?
My parting words are, for any Reds re-watching the game this week, look at Ten Hag's eyes and look at Ten Hag's attire. My boy was up for the game. He's focused.
Oh, he did change.
He had fire in his eyes. Yeah, look at the man's eyes and look at the way he dressed for that game.
I didn't know you were such a stylish fashionista.
I'm not, but I'm just like, when I saw him come out, I was like, oh, shit, my man means business.
She's always coming up with something new.
Look at his eyes, but I'm telling you.
Hey, just want the boys to come back healthy, ready for to kick off again the season and just, you know, run off the same momentum again.
I think health is going to be in our sides coming back, and that's and then this final push, that's going to be good. It's going to be good. Mike Bandito, any final words?
The little boy that was crying in the stands.
I love him. Dude, that got me. Like, he's raised right, isn't he?
It's like you crying at the pub, you look up at the TV, you see the kid crying, you're like, yes!
Sinatra was crying, huh? Sinatra was crying, huh? Because I seen it in the video. He was like
a baby. Like a baby.
I love it.
It might have been because he hit his head on one of the fixtures, though.
Did he?
It's the ceiling fans and all the shit hanging off the ceiling. But because, yo, the roof almost came off in there, man.
Damn it, man. I have to eat some chicharrón that blew me out. Sean, the Don, this is your moment. I just want to give you your flowers again. Mm-hmm. What you did was amazing. I know a lot of Manny people because of Bandito, and they were like, man, they were saying, like, you're doing it. We're proud of you. I was like, shit, I didn't do shit, but I'll take the clout. Give me the clout. Give me that street cred. Sean, my brother, we love you, man. Thank you for just taking the initiative to do this, because a lot of people talk and talk, but you did it, and I was so proud as a I'm gonna say I'm a Jamaican red, but for this, I'm a red across the pond. Thank you, my brother. Shit, I love you, man. Any part words?
Yeah, just honestly, guys, thanks for having me on. Anytime you want me to come on, just have Mikey reach out. Whoever wants to reach out, and more than willing to join whenever.
All right, on that note, this has been another edition of This Casual. I want to thank everybody for joining us. My regulars right here, our guests, Bandito, Sean, y'all amazing. Everybody be safe. Have a good evening. Up the fucking Reds. We're out.
Up the Reds. Up.
You're listening to It's Casual with Casey Gale, Jeremy Sanchez, and Mikey Douglas, only on LA Talk Radio.